both accounts of Bateman, I feel that each county and the public should consider some basic points as we decide on how to cast our votes Monday evening. This proposed amendment to our ordinance is unconstitutional and trampled the basic and fundamental right guaranteed by our Constitution, the right to free speech. We should compare this right to free speech with other constitutional rights we hear of almost daily in the press, namely the Second Amendment right to bear arms. We do not hear a chant or see a stampede to eliminate everyone's constitutional right to own and bear arms with a criminal sociopath, which uses a weapon to rob the bank or a person or to kill a man while he is worshiping at his church, or when a gun is used to shoot a child attending her mother's wedding reception. All our rights are dear to us, and we have to respect and protect each constitutional right we have, and not to choose to do away with one for convenience sake only. In all honesty and fairness, the woman who got robbed and carjacked recently at I-65 and Keystone exit was the victim, unfortunately, of a criminal sociopath who was disguised as a person in need. Criminal sociopaths come in all forms and disguises. Students kill other students, husbands and wives hurt each other, and sadly, their children sometimes also. Yet we do not attempt to cure those social ills by limiting law-abiding people's constitutional right to do business or to go to school. Our constitutional right to free speech includes the press and media. What if the many attempts to limit free speech had been passed because someone with the power to offer a new amendment did not like what had been written about them or issue dear to them? Is this part of free speech any different? No, let's not start to censure people's right to free speech. No matter how unpleasant and disquieting poverty in Indianapolis and Marion County is, we cannot afford to turn our backs on the problems in our community by silencing the voices of keeping the homeless and the hungry out of sight, and by labeling those who seek out our system as either panhandlers or criminals because of the action of one person. As of this date, we do not know who that person is. If any of you gentlemen have an update on that, I'm sure you would give it to the public. But as we speak, we do not know the identity of that person. So now we'll take questions.
Bill, one of the things is always that when we talk about panhandlers, it's not so much that the government can't regulate the speech, as it is sort of the time, place, and manner. You can't panhandle near an ATM machine. You can't block, the door to a business. Mm-hmm. Somebody asks you to leave you alone, you have to back off.
So they ask that you and I and anyone else not ask for money when someone's at a vending machine. That's everyone, not someone that's labeled as poor, or you use the term panhandling. That's all Americans, not just a particular one.
So does it still say the same thing, though, that you can't just panhandle near an exit ramp? Nobody can, rich, poor, whomever. You can't be on the intersection of 465, 69, any place, and beg for money.
No, it doesn't say that. It says you cannot aggressively do it when you're in a violation. It says you cannot aggressively do it. That you can stand there and hold a press conference on public property as long as we're not impeding someone's right of way, either vehicle traffic or pedestrian traffic.
None of these are new issues. I'm wondering what your purpose is here today. Do you feel like this is a proposal
Thank you very much, Jim. It's not new. It's not old, because when an incident happened that I alluded to earlier, a couple of weeks ago, I believe, to the lady that was mugged out there by a thug, it wasn't old, because they linked that with this particular ordinance. I do thank you for coming out, giving us the chance to counter what some hype and some hysterics that are being stirred in our community. As we speak, there's a gentleman in Wichita Hospital that was a victim of a hate of someone because he was asking for food, and he was set upon an attack, and this type of thing. We don't want our community to rise to that level.
But do you see this amendment going through?
Not necessarily. I think that we have the support. Not necessarily. I think that we have the support I think that people are logically thinking about this situation and understand that, you know, if you begin to open up the door to prevent people's freedom of speech, well, then it can go beyond the boundaries in which you are setting right now.
There's some talk
if I could, yeah, I mean, it seems to be that this proposal to restrict panhandling is pretty popular.
Yeah, well, you know, when you get the press to highlight that there was a mugging for someone perpetrating a panhandler who is actually a thug. He had no intent on panhandling. This was a criminal act. He had no intent on panhandling. A panhandler was not going to carjack because he has to go back on that corner. So this was somebody perpetrating a panhandler, and it gives the whole situation a bad name. And what happened was, you know, that because of emotional contagion, well, then folks would begin to look at the thing as if all panhandlers are painted in this one broad stroke.
Okay, but because of that, do you feel like you're losing this battle?
No. No, we just want to state our position, is an affirming our position that we are still in support of our position. That is that the panhandling ordinance is unconstitutional.
And when the press, when the victim, and my heart goes out to her, when the victim and the press gave the coverage that at all times she was listed, she was quoted saying, a panhandler done this to me, and the press, and I called the press and said, well, what was the description of the panhandler? No, of the perpetrator. No one knows the description of it. They say he had on a black hood. I said, what color was his face? No one knew that, but they say he was a panhandler. So that, I think getting people's emotions aroused, you know, that we're going to go out and round up all the persons out on the street asking for assistance, I don't think we want our police department doing that.
That if this does pass, it could bring lawsuits for the city? I mean, do you think if it's unconstitutional, do you think there could be some legal implications?
Absolutely. We have been in touch with the ACLU on this issue, and they deem it unconstitutional, and they believe that, you know, a passage of this will create a problem later on down the road.
Is there anything the Republicans do to amend this that would get your support, or is it just a bad idea all around?
They had three attorneys, practicing attorneys, in the Republican caucus that voted for this proposal. So this is troubling to our community, that, and we're going to see how this shakes out.
Are you guys going to vote for a hotel tax on Monday?
Well, I haven't gotten any calls from Governor Daniels or the Honorable Mayor Battle on the 25th floor about support for it. So
yeah, I'm assuming they already have their votes.
Okay. So, but there was that. But my question is, are you going to vote for it, yes or no?
Well, I voted for a tax increase 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and I got my head handed to me.
So that would be a no?
In its present form, until I hear from Governor Daniels or Mayor Ballard, perhaps they can shed some light on the why I should support it.
You sure are smooth. You're smooth.
So is that a no?
Well, you know, I'm going to follow the caucus lead.